While the World Wide Web was effectively invented by a baby boomer, sometimes it's thought of as a place for younger people with internet lingo, TikTok, and the OK boomer attitude. But the internet today is full for people of all ages. According to a 2017 Pew Research poll, 67% of adults aged 65 and up say they use the internet, and 4 out of 10 older adults own a smartphone. While we may all be online, we don't all have the same ideas of what's entertaining, informative, or even safe online. Katie Natopoulos is a senior reporter for BuzzFeed News covering internet and technology. She co-hosted the podcast Internet Explorer. Katie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is something I think about a lot. We're all, you know, using the same internet, but it's going to feel really different depending on where you're coming from in many cases when it comes to different generations. What kind of things do you watch for when it comes to how different ages may go online?
What's interesting is seeing, you know, typically younger people are the people who are adopting new platforms first, right? So something like TikTok is something that teenagers are really into right now and seems a little bit confusing for older people, even people my age. I'm in my 30s. as you said, everyone's online now. You know, internet penetration in the U.S. at least is pretty much near complete. And so you still have a lot of people of all ages who are, you know, daily, weekly, constant internet users. They have smartphones. They're on Facebook. They're interacting with these people, you know, the platforms and websites in all sorts of different ways.
Do you see this as a generation gap where we just don't necessarily understand each other when the younger person references TikTok now or Vine, 10, 15 years ago, whenever Vine was, that we don't even know what the other person's talking about?
Well, I think the one thing to consider is that, you know, teenagers and older people aren't necessarily hanging out and talking about TikTok very often. And so the points where you do see these two sort of generations connecting, is parenting. So an older, you know, a parent in their 40s or 50s who has a teenager might feel really, you know, freaked out and concerned about, what is my 16-year-old looking at on the phone? And then also we see it in the workplace. That's another area where people of many different ages all of a sudden have to come together and, you know, accomplish a task together, but they might have drastically different experiences. And I think that there's different ways that in the workplace, there's young people who are 20, 22, Gen Z is, you know, starting to work alongside baby boomers. I think that, you know, it's working out to some degree.
Do you see, it seems like there's some kind of a creep sometimes where younger people might adopt a platform and then older generations come to it. And, you know, with something like Facebook now, I think younger people in some cases steer clear of it because that's what the grown-ups use. Is that a trend you see over time?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely happened with Facebook. I don't know necessarily that it's happened with other types of platforms as much as it really has with Facebook, where it's the kind of thing that, honestly, it's great for older people. It's a way to keep in touch with, you know, friends and family who, you know, you've met throughout your life that might not live near you, you know. So I understand why, you know, someone who has grandkids or children or adult children likes it as a way to keep in touch. But then, of course, it's inherently uncool if you're young because you don't want to be on the same thing that your parents are on. But you don't really see that as much with services like TikTok or Instagram or even Twitter, things like that, YouTube, just because I think the older people are slightly less interested in being on YouTube or TikTok. YouTube is its own sort of interesting thing where I think that's a platform really where those two generations are using it very differently. So older people, I think, look at YouTube as a repository of videos that they can go and search for the thing that they're looking for, right? You might want to see a cooking video. You might want to see a news clip. You might want to see, you know, a music video song that you remember from, you know, growing up or something like that. That's what I use it a lot for. And younger people go there as a social network. They follow personalities on there. You know, they want to see the daily update from Jake Paul or whatever. They're posting stuff on their own. They love watching the drama unfold between these, you know, different YouTube characters having fights and arguments with each other. So that's really something where there are really two different worlds of how you use the same thing. And everyone's using YouTube. You know, we look at videos all the time. But the way that they sort of view those things, I think, are very different.
Talking to Katie Natopoulos, she covers internet and technology at BuzzFeed News. We're looking at generation gaps on the online world. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you're willing to tell us what generation you are and how you use the internet, and especially if you see differences with other generations, your kids, your parents, older or younger coworkers. Are you in different worlds on the internet, or have you found cool stuff from each other? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Now, you mentioned the grandparents or parents sharing pictures of their kids. And I know, Katie, different people, and I don't know if this is a generational thing, people have different attitudes about, you know, should we really be posting all these images of minors online? What do you see out there?
So this is actually something I've written about, and I'm really interested in. And it happens a lot on Facebook and also on Instagram, but I think different generations have really different attitudes about privacy and what sort of expectations of how you should share stuff on the internet would be. And you might think that younger people are more, you know, ready to share any pictures or whatever. But I found that actually those people are a little bit more, partly because they're a little bit perhaps more aware of the different nuances in how to set your privacy settings on something like Facebook, which is, you know, Facebook tries to make it as easy as possible to figure out your privacy settings, but still slightly complicated. And so what I've seen a lot of tension with is, you know, millennial parents of babies and young children are having problems with the grandparents, their own baby boomer parents, about when it's okay to share photos of the baby or the child and whether or not it's okay to share the public to, you know, to do it to a public setting, or, you know, if it's okay to tag their friends in it, or sort of the etiquette around that. I do see a lot of millennial parents being really cautious about how they are posting pictures of their children publicly on the internet. And a lot of parents really want to avoid sort of giving their child a digital footprint.
You mentioned the E word there, etiquette. I know people are actually writing books about online etiquette, but things change so fast. Is there any shared definition of what it means to have a system of etiquette online?
You know, I think that it's one of those things where it does change, and each platform is slightly different. And, you know, I don't know. I think that if you have good etiquette in real life, you can figure it out, you know. If you're someone who's prone to pissing off your millennial son or daughter, you might piss them off on Facebook too. So that kind of thing happens. And, you know, I it's tough. It's tough.
And then we've got people on all ends of the extreme. We've got younger generations who never knew life without the internet. Some members of the older generation who maybe adopted early, maybe didn't. Do you think that shapes the way we approach the internet or Gen Xers like me who kind of came in halfway through? Does that basic point of origin there shape the way we do things online?
It certainly shapes the way we do things online. I think it also even shapes the way that, you know, people do things offline, almost even more so. I remember hearing just recently about, it was a story about some of the phone bankers for political candidates, when they have really young people who have only known cell phones, they don't understand how call waiting works. So they're not used to what a hold line is, or how to put someone on hold, because they didn't have their own landline. So they're not used to that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think that as much as there's different expectations of how to use the internet, and younger people might be more savvy at that, they're also not savvy at these sort of basic things like, you know, how to use a phone.
We continue our conversation about how different generations use the internet. Our guest is Katie Natopoulos, a senior reporter for BuzzFeed News covering internet and technology. She co-hosted the podcast Internet Explorer. You can join in, whether you're a boomer, Generation X, Generation C, millennial, wherever you are on the generation map. You could call in at 800-642-1234. Are you an older adult who is maybe skeptical of social media, of the internet, but now you use it? Maybe you're someone who sees family members of different ages spending their time online drastically differently, from getting the weather to recipes to using TikTok. Do you produce your own content online, or are you a passive observer? Where on the internet, no matter your age, have you found a community, if at all? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Hunter starts us off in Stevens Point. Hunter, hello.
Hi.
What'd you want to tell us about, Hunter?
Okay, well, I think that a large aspect, especially for younger people, of the online social media occurrences are online gaming. I think that there's a large number of younger people who have met people from all over the world and interacted with them through that medium, and I just think it's a very interesting point that not a lot of people talk about when talking about the impact that the internet has had on, you know, my generation.
Hunter, can I ask how old you are and what your main online games are?
Sure. So I just turned 23. I play a lot of games like Overwatch, League of Legends, the occasional more massively multiplayer thing like World of Warcraft or something.
Hunter, thanks a lot for sharing that story. And Hunter, I know a lot of people do this. They have groups of friends that they know from playing online games like Overwatch and the rest. I don't know. Do you think that crosses generations, or is this mostly a younger person thing? Katie.
It does cross generations. I mean, I think the people of all ages play video games, but it definitely is a little bit more concentrated with, you know, younger people. I mean, there also are, you know, as the caller pointed out, there's tons of huge services like Twitch that are dedicated to online streaming of video games. And that's a whole sort of level of social network that if you're not into gaming, you might completely miss. And I think that it is also a, you know, an interesting generational issue with parenting, because there's a lot of games like Minecraft and even Roblox for younger kids that, you know, parents might not totally understand, but are sort of good for kids potentially. And there's, you know, lots of sort of hand-wringing about screen time and not exactly understanding what your kids are doing when they're playing video games.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Mark is with us in Menominee Falls. Mark, hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. And not to, to jump right on to what Hunter just called in about, but I grew up with the internet and met a lot of really good friends on it. In fact, the only people I'm really still in touch with from high school are people I've never met in real life and have only played games with online. I think that it definitely crosses the generation. So, too, I have people who I affectionately at least used to call my internet mother or father, and just people of all ages I've gotten to interact with that I never would have in real life, but through a connection mostly those massively multiplayer online games, I've made some really good friends.
Mark, I got to ask, have you ultimately met some of these people in person, or is this a purely online connection?
I have met a couple of them in person. We've had a few meetups, and it's kind of always a fun experience, you know, putting an in-game avatar and name and persona into a real person, and you find sometimes people who are completely introverted in real life can be themselves online, and they don't really have the opportunity to do that in person, or they don't feel as comfortable being themselves.
Mark, thanks a lot for sharing that. Katie, people, again, meeting people online, but also, I guess, exploring different sides of their personas online. What do you think about what Mark had to say?
I mean, I think that that's absolutely one of the best parts of the internet is that, you know, you get to meet people who you wouldn't necessarily meet in your town or in real life or at your school, you know, especially for queer people or people of color who might not feel like they, you know, have a lot of peers like them around. The internet can be a great way to reach out and talk to other people like you. The Pew research about teenagers has also showed that teenagers who use the internet, a really high percentage of them, one of the sort of benefits is that they say that they've used social media to talk to someone who isn't like them. So maybe someone from a different town or a different race or a different gender. And that's, you know, ultimately a positive thing.
Thanks a lot for that call, Mark. This jogs my memory, Katie, going way back to when Yahoo was the big deal and they ran TV ads. And there was one where there was a punk rocker and his friends made fun of him from sewing. And so online, he met a sewing group of old ladies and went and sewed with them. And I don't know, that was like the promise of the internet, that you were going to find your people. And I don't know, it sounds like maybe some of that is coming true.
I think it's definitely come true. I think there's so many people who have really, really positive stories of how they use the internet to connect to a group of people who they never would have met in real life. You know, and those are success stories. I think ultimately there's some research that shows that even if you meet people online and online friends can be real friends, you don't actually necessarily have more friends. There's sort of this scientific rule called Dunbar's number that says you can only ever really have, human brains are only capable of having 150 friends. And even if you have 1,000 Facebook friends, you're not, they might be acquaintances who you can match the name and face, but you don't actually keep regular social contact with them. And that we're only, as you know, evolved primates, capable of a certain amount of human interaction. So I think that we might find more enriching friendships by finding and connecting with the people that we want to find, but it doesn't necessarily mean we have more friends than someone who's completely offline and, you know, only has friends from real life.
Talking to Katie Natopoulos, senior reporter for BuzzFeed News, looking at the way we use the internet and generation gaps in how we use it, how we experience it, how we may not get each other. Katie, as a parent, I got to say I've discovered that there's a whole world of celebrities that I had no idea were out there. You were mentioning earlier the famous people on YouTube, the creators of TikTok things, the Twitch videos. There are a lot of people out there who are famous, but in that one circle, and another generation might be completely, as I was, ignorant of them.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know, and they're sort of self-contained, I think, of especially with the gamers. You know, there's people who are really, really famous gamers and have millions and millions of followers on these platforms like Twitch, and Microsoft has a version of a game streaming platform. And if you're not into video games, you would have never, ever heard of these people. Similar to YouTubers, it's sort of if you've never, you know, if you're not into that, you've just never heard of them. And that is slightly different than, you know, everyone's heard of Beyonce. You know, if it's a popular musician on the radio or an actor in movies, you probably, you know, have some awareness of them. But, you know, I think that that is a different way that, you know, there is this different level of culture that young people are into.
Do you see, as we start to wrap up, Katie, ways that we could maybe get more and more positive intergenerational interaction on social media or somewhere online?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I think that there is, you know, the whole OK Boomer meme, which is, you know, this sort of disdain for older people, you know, it's sort of based on the idea that older people, when they interact online, are often sort of looking down their noses a little bit at young people. You know, but I think that ultimately, like, there are positive ways that people can interact and be civil, but you sort of have to be open to it, I think.
And just briefly, Katie, I know you track developments online, memes, cutting edge. What are you watching right now?
You know, I really do like TikTok, I have to say. Even though it seems complicated, it's actually like the easiest possible thing. You open it up, you don't have to follow anyone. It just starts showing you popular and funny videos. And you don't, they're not even hard to get. A lot of the times they're just kind of funny videos. So I actually really, really enjoy just scrolling through that.
Katie, thanks a lot for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking to Katie Natopoulos, a senior reporter for BuzzFeed News covering internet and technology. She joins today to talk about how different generations use the internet and social media. Still time, by the way, to share your thoughts, maybe your experiences online or in your own household with the different ways people use their technology. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Or TikTok us. No, that's not a thing you can do, right? Nope. The younger person here is shaking her head. You can't do that. But the Central Time Twitter feeds at Central Time WPR.